Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in East Lansing, Michigan, and earned a bachelor's degree in economics and a master's degree in labor and industrial relations from Michigan State University. For 23 years, he held various senior leadership roles in Michigan State government, and from 2001 to 2006 was the president of Grand Valley State University. Since 2006, he's led Meyer, Inc., and today is its vice chairman. A modern-day Renaissance man, his name, Mark Murray. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Mark Murray, legendary person with a number of phenomenal chapters in his life. Mark, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Well, Jack, it's a pleasure to be on.
Can we start by talking about your childhood, your parents, and growing up in East Lansing?
Well, it's a privilege. I was very fortunate. I had great parents. They were actually both reporters for the Detroit Free Press back in the 40s, which is where they met. By the time I was born, they were living in East Lansing, and my dad was a journalism professor, been a practicing journalist, and was a speechwriter and press secretary for Governor Soapy Williams. My mom, when I started school, went to college. She'd been a reporter with a high school diploma, but ended up going to college, and ultimately did a set of different writing projects in her professional life. But both of them were very caring. Both of them had strong principles, and both of them believed that learning and serving other people was really a central part of what our lives will be if we're going to flourish. So they were great role models, and real grateful. They've been gone now a number of years, both of them, but I know ever more how instrumental they were in forming my life.
What jobs did you have growing up, Mark, and working your way through college?
Well, my first jobs were was a paper boy back in the days when there were people being paper boys, and there's nothing like having to get up early in the morning and have to go, you know, collect the bills, and it's a lot like work, and it's a good habit forming. When I went to college, my job for all 4 years was as a school bus driver, which was a terrific job because, again, you get up early in the morning, drive the kids to school, and then go take your classes on campus. I was doing it in East Lansing. And then you get back, drive them home from school, and then you've got the rest of your evening free, and it does keep you getting to bed early at night, which sometimes there's an awful temptation when you're a college student to go late into the night with studying or other things, as they say.
Bo Schembechler used to say, "Ain't nothing good happens after midnight." So,
and that's I've said that myself to young people over the years.
It's 1978. How was it you got into public service?
Well, I was finishing that master's degree in labor relations at Michigan State University, and a friend of mine got a letter with a job request in the Michigan Department of Social Services. And the question was, could you do some essentially economic modeling? So it was kind of a technical job that was needed to be filled. He had no interest, so I called down and said, "Hey, my friend got this letter, but would you consider talking to me because I could do this for you?" And I was hired in 1978 to really help do some sort of analytic work, and fairly soon thereafter was also asked to assist in some of that modeling for policy work. So that was the 1978, 79, 80 version of welfare reform. It was the Milliken administration. The leader of the agency was Jack Dempsey, who was just a terrific public servant. And Noble Cater was the deputy, and just good people doing the work to try and make sure these systems help poor folks get out of some of the burdens that they're facing. There's a certain limit to what government can do, but making sure these programs were as effective as possible.
We're talking to Mark Murray. Mark, share with us your 22-year chapter, the great career you had in public service.
Well, I'll keep it a little brief, and you know, feel free to probe if you hear something interesting. But the 7 years in the Michigan Department of Social Services doing various kinds of policy work, and then we've now moved to the Blanchard administration, and Doug Ross is running the Michigan Department of Commerce and asked me to come over to do, again, kind of a technical research support work over there for economic development programs. This was in the era when we were trying to land the Saturn plant and some of those kind of things. And then after about 5 years of that, I was asked to go back into more sort of technical work over in the Michigan Department of Management budget to be responsible for the health plan for Michigan as well as the human services budget. So in keeping with some of the knowledge I've had over the years in the human services and education areas, ultimately, so John Engler elected governor. I'd never met Governor Engler before he was elected, but fairly immediately got involved with what his efforts were to stabilize the budget and build the programs that he had promised for the state, and ultimately was the deputy budget director for him and then the state budget director for him. So a lot of work in education, human services, economic development, across a bunch of disciplines. When you're involved in the budget, you know, that's really where central questions get resolved, because it's about resources. There's so many things that government can and to some degree should be doing, but we also have to temper that with, there's a real serious constraint on resources, because those resources all come from taxpayers. And so getting that balance right and making sure we've got as effective possible programs. It was a great body of work and many interesting topics, but probably most important, some really spectacular people. I think the general rap on public servants is unfair. There's a lot of, and you know, it's earned to some extent. I guess I'm sure I certainly ran into people who maybe weren't working quite as hard as their colleagues in the private sector were. But boy, I worked with a lot of terrific people who worked very hard and were very concerned to make sure they were doing what's right with those tax dollars for the common good.
We're talking to Mark Murray. When we come back, we'll ask him about what role of the many roles he played in public service was the most interesting. And I'm Jack Krasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Mark Murray, who served 22-plus years in the state of Michigan government. Mark, many, many roles. Was there one that you found most interesting?
Well, the one that was the most challenging and really, therefore, the most rewarding was as state budget director and deputy at that time. Because at that point, you have the reach over all the programs of state government. You have involvement in all of them because you're in the debate with the legislature about what resources will be allocated. So this is, you know, our prison systems, our universities, community colleges, K-12, roads, human services. And it's very challenging to really accept the responsibility and stewardship of that role, because these are complicated. There's federal laws and state laws and local laws, and how do you craft a budget and the rules around the budget in a way that is most effective. So, I'm grateful for the chance to have been involved in that, and it was so challenging and demanding that it also broadened my skills and capacities because, you know, when we get tested, we not only find out things that we can do that we didn't know we could do, but we actually build the capacity to do things that we really couldn't do before.
You mentioned in the previous segment about the many spectacular, terrific people that you served with in federal government. All we hear is about the bad apples. Tell us about the vast majority and the terrific job these people do.
The great majority of the people I worked with in state government, whether this is in the Department of Treasury, Management, Budget, the Department of Social Services, or in the other agencies with which I interacted over the years, were really responsible stewards doing what they were tasked to do by the executive branch and the legislative branch. And I tell you, in some cases, they didn't necessarily agree with all the policy, but they weren't the policymakers. Their job was to faithfully implement the program or the law. And really, really careful and faithful people about that. And there's more judgment calls than you might expect. And it was, an honorable effort to try and do what was right for the people and do what's right according to the law and the rules. So it was really good. I have particular names that I were important in helping me grow. But when I look at people like Jack Dempsey as an agency director, or the enthusiasm Doug Ross brought to economic development, the absolute commitment to the poor that I saw in some of the leaders of the Department of Social Services, it was really heartening. And then you go into the ranks of the agencies, and there's a lot of folks who toiling without any recognition through a lot of complexity to make sure that government works as effectively as it possibly can.
If there's a young listener tonight that's thinking about a career in public service, what would you tell them, Mark Murray?
Well, I bring some skills, you know. So if you're a social worker, there's a need for you. If you're an educator, there's a need for you. If you're a public safety, you have a interest in public safety, there's a need for you. There are needs in every area of skills. And sometimes those same skills can be used outside of government or inside of government. And don't be afraid to take the look at the governmental service. The news coverage sometimes looks like all that happens in government is that political leaders are, you know, sort of yelling at each other and demeaning each other. That simply isn't the reality of day-to-day work in a state agency or a local agency trying to make sure our parks are working well or our schools are functioning well. That's day-to-day work with real other colleagues and real service, and it's very worthy. So the work is notable, important, interesting, and there are a lot of good colleagues. That's the key. In any kind of job, you want to work with people that you want to work with, and there certainly are a lot of good people in public service.
In 2001, Mark, you joined Grand Valley State University as its president. How did that come about?
Well, in that long run in state government, I actually had 1 year out where I went over to Michigan State University, and I was the vice president for finance administration there. In the budgets, you're naturally dealing with all the college presidents. So I knew universities. I knew universities from the inside. So I was approached about whether I would consider being a candidate for Grand Valley. My predecessor was a guy named Don Lubbers, who had been there for 32 years and had taken a relatively small kind of experimental college that had recently been formed and built it into a really excellent, high-quality institution. It was mostly known on the West Side, and I was really privileged to be asked to come in and be his successor. He couldn't have been more gracious. You know, it's hard sometimes when you've been the creative force who really built such a spectacular institution to not come back and sort of question the person coming after you. Don was so supportive, and it was an easy role to follow him, and it was a good institution. And what I was probably most involved in was building up its image, visibility, and reputation to be more of a statewide institution. During my time, we got a lot more kids from Southeast Michigan and Northern Michigan going there, not just a West Michigan school, and really high quality, great. I knew about it from my time in state government, a great social work program, strong in the health fields, strong in engineering, really good set of programs. So that was a real privilege. But the way that it came about was 32 years of service. It was time to ask somebody to come in and succeed, Don Lubbers. And because I had worked in higher ed, both on the state side and then at Michigan State University, I was nominated to be considered, and the board was gracious and asked me to come in and serve.
Mark Murray, what did the students at Grand Valley State University teach you?
Well, Jack, you've got the center of the whole universe there. The young people are at this critical point in their life where they are out of their home, and they are open to the kind of influences that will fundamentally set. It's not, college is not when you make all the decisions for your whole life, but you do make some pretty fundamental decisions. You make a fundamental decision about what your professional domain is going to be. Is it going to be in the sciences? Is it going to be in the arts? Is it going to be in business? Where is it going to be? Often you meet a spouse at a college campus, and that kind of dynamism and just big, you know, wide open eyes, clear eyes, what's the future, head up. Let's look forward, and it's just so wonderful to be around and engaged with students who are working those kind of questions in their own minds and their own lives. Grand Valley in particular had a number of first-generation college students, and so there was even a little bit more sort of dazzlement to this whole idea of being off to college. We were fortunate. We had a great faculty and staff who really were student-centered, and it was really good. What I learned from them was just keep your head up, keep optimism, keep looking forward, keep developing who you can be. And those aren't things I didn't know, but sometimes we need reinforcement in those, and those students were glorious at reinforcing the sort of the best of our outlook for our future and optimism.
We're talking to Mark Murray, and from 2001 to 2006, he was the president of Grand Valley State University. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasul, and we're with Mark Murray. Mark, talk to us about the competition today amongst colleges and universities for good students.
Well, it's particularly notable in Michigan right now because we have a little bit of a demographic decline going on. Michigan, as I think most people know, has not been growing its population the way many other parts of the country have been. That's a 50-year-old story, and as a consequence of not growing as much, our age profile is getting a little bit older here compared to many other states, and so we've actually got declining numbers of students coming out of high school at the same time that we've got great both public and private institutions here in the state. And many of these institutions will attract students from other parts of the world or other parts of the country. But most of their enrollment base is going to come from Michigan. So it's a little bit thinner applicant pool in aggregate, and it's forcing schools to both attend even more attentively to what their cost structures are to keep the cost down, the tuition rates down as much as they can, and to really make sure they've got programs that are as effective as possible at helping students form the life that they're going to college for. Often that is a professional role, but it can be broader than that.
Speaking of tuition cost, talk to us about the student debt crisis that so many of our young people have today.
It's a very serious issue. I think this may be one of the challenges that may lead to some restructuring here over the next 10 or 15 years in the higher ed segment. You simply have too much debt for too many students, and there's lots of causes for it, so there's no single silver bullet solution, but this is one for parents who might be listening to this. This is really a important question, eyes wide open. What are scholarships that are available? Are the students taking on debt? What's the nature of that debt? When does it have to be repaid? And helping students navigate that, because when you're 18 or 19 years old and it looks like all you have to do is just sign your name on the bottom of a form and that will take care of the financial issues for you to keep in college, you don't necessarily really know the full implications of that. Students need to ask. And then it's slowing us down as people get out of school and really want to contribute to the community, buy a house, family formation, those kind of things. But, oh, by the way, they're carrying a debt load. So I think that we'll see more pressure from the governing authorities to hold down tuition and hold down costs. I think institutions will find, particularly as we were just discussing, a little bit thinner pool of applicants. I think markets do work, and those who hold down their costs or freeze tuition or other things may end up getting a leg up in the marketplace, and that would be a good sign of how things can work. I also think, when I went to college in the 70s, the great bulk of it was paid for by the public sector. Tuition only covered a relatively small share of the overall cost. Now it's kind of flipped on its ears, so most of the cost now is covered by tuition. That's part of why tuition's been going up at seemingly such a fast rate, is because the state here in Michigan and mostly around the country just doesn't support higher ed the way that it used to.
You mentioned future restructuring of higher education. With that in mind, talk about the explosion of online and hybrid courses, Mark.
Well, I think it's heartening. There's some pretty interesting new models around for people doing distance learning and online programming. It's terrific if you're in a geography or you're in a life situation where you can't do the normal on-campus residential programs. Again, colleges and institutions will innovate by nature of their professional resolve to be great educators, but market pressures help force that along a little faster, and that's all to the good. And online courses can be very effective, and they can often be provided at a fraction of the cost of a traditional course.
It's 2006, and you joined Meyer, Inc. as its president. How did that come about?
Well, I was at Grand Valley State University, and the Meyer family asked me to come and serve on the board of Meyer, Inc., and I'd done that for a couple of years, and then they asked me to come and serve in that role with the family, essentially running the company in conjunction with the family. And my first reaction was, I absolutely love what I'm doing at Grand Valley, and I don't have that kind of business experience. we talked a little bit more, and finally I agreed to consider it as long as we could have a long period so Grand Valley could do a search, which they did, and found Tom Haas, who's done a terrific job there leading Grand Valley. He's just announced his retirement recently. And so I came to Meyer, and I'm pretty good. I've had a lot of experience in big organizations, and Meyer's a big organization. We have 70,000 employees and a couple hundred stores. And so I was able to be helpful here in the Meyer company in that leadership role. There's now a guy named Rick Keyes is now running Meyer, just doing an absolutely terrific job. He grew up in the company, started out as a pharmacist in one of our stores down in Ohio. So I'm now the vice chairman. But for the years when I was in that seat with the family doing the day-to-day leadership, it's just what a great company and super competitive industry. I mean, you can go up and down any street in any of the communities, people listening to this show, and there's lots of places to turn in and go buy your food or your other things. And so we have to be on our toes 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And it's invigorating, it's challenging, and it's pretty demanding, but it's also a lot of fun.
Meyer was founded in 1934 as a supermarket chain, and it's credited with pioneering the modern supercenter concept in 1962. Mark, what's its culture?
Well, that's a great question, and that's a central question to any healthy organization. Probably the key words would be dignity and respect. We believe it's essential that we understand that our team members are the heart and soul, heartbeat of the place, and they have to be treated with dignity and respect. And so, again, very competitive industry, a lot of hard hours, a lot of hard work, but there's an opportunity to do that hard work with a little bit more arm around your work colleagues, a little bit more support, a little bit more concern about their well-being. And those small differences are really about the personal value that is given to each team member. And we're not perfect, but we know what perfect looks like, and we try to get as close as we can. And that dignity and respect also includes relationships with all the good people who supply us with things, our vendors. We need to live up to our word. If we say we're going to do something, we do it. And it's the good part of business. I think one of the things that we sometimes forget is that many of those elements of being fair and courageous but with good judgment and balance, those things are all traditional virtues, and those traditional virtues actually are good for business as well. You have to bring good judgment, prudence, they call it. You have to not just be chasing every shiny object. They call that temperance. These are things that are in the bones of the Meyer company, and its growth is a result of those kind of values.
If you want to learn more, www.meijer.com. And we're talking to Mark Murray, who from 2006 to 2013 was the president of Meyer, Inc. I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to a modern-day Renaissance man, Mark Murray. Mark, it's 2013. Detroit's just coming out of bankruptcy. And as the leader of Meyer, you decide you're going to open its first Detroit store at 8 Mile and Woodward. How did you come about that decision, and how has it worked?
Well, I'll start with the second one, Jack. It's worked like a charm. We're a private company, so we're not going to be, sharing all the details. But drive by that parking lot any time, and you can see a lot of customers there, and that's what makes our business work. And we only have those customers if we're doing our job well. So it's going very well. How did it happen? That old state fairground site had gone through a couple of different permutations of ownership, and they some folks who were in the development community who were partly in control and partly just involved came and met with me here, and it's an example of where all my old relationships mattered. You know, there were people in that room who I'd worked with on projects over the years. We set the terms of how we thought that could end up working. We visited, we're Grand Rapids company, and so the first thought of putting a store in the city of Detroit, we've got a lot of stores in Metro Detroit, not everyone in the corporate office necessarily started with complete enthusiasm, but we got folks down, we took a look at it, we saw the site, we saw how it would work, and the Meyer family was just all in, and the corporate team was all in. And it's really, it's brought some deep satisfaction. Again, this is business, but it's also got a purpose, and you have to be serving people for a business to actually work. And to be getting into the community with a Meijer store was just a great privilege. And we know we're doing something right because we still have just such a great set of customers.
If you want to learn more, www.meijer.com. Mark Murray, you've toiled and have held senior leadership positions in state government, higher education, and now in business. What's the same and what's different?
Well, I think I mentioned it in an earlier segment. Big. I'm pretty good with big organizations, and when you're in big organizations, education, government, business are more alike than different. And that's because you ultimately have to have a team of people. The team of people have to be aligned on common purposes. You have to figure out how to take scarce resources and put them where they belong. You have to make sure you're really serving people. Now, it's a little bit different when you're the Michigan Department of Social Services. To some degree, you're a monopoly. Nobody else runs the social services system except you. So you don't have to respond, but the ethic of the people there are you will respond. And so you've still got a customer focus, even if you're in a governmental agency. Again, on good days, I accept the fact that it isn't always that way, but on most days are good days, and on good days, people are really pretty customer focused. So it's really fairly similar. It is always a learning curve because there's new people. When all is said and done, any system is only as good as the people there. And so when it meant coming into retail, I had to learn a lot of new people, meet with them, visit with them, and help determine how do we get everybody in the right spot so we can keep moving forward. So it is different. It's particularly different in business because if you stumble a handful of times, you can find yourself out of business. Universities aren't likely to go away, although occasionally they do, and government agencies don't go away. They just go find a new leader. But they're certainly more alike than they are different.
Mark Murray, you're a shining example that life is a series of chapters and that you should embrace change. How do I learn how to do that?
Well, Jack, life is a series of chapters, and for somebody like me, this simply was not a plan at all. What my orientation always was when I'm hired in the Michigan Department of Social Services in 1978, I'm going to do my job as best I possibly can. And I'm going to look up and see who am I here to serve and how do I serve them as well as possible, not just do my assignment of the hour. And now, in retrospect, it turns out that as I have brought that orientation, and again, not perfectly, but as best I could, my head's up, my arms out, how do I help the most people in whatever role I'm in, it turns out other opportunities have arisen. And so I would really encourage everyone to be open to change, but, you know, do what you are currently tasked with as flawlessly as possible, because it will help you build new relationships, new skills. It will test you. It will cause you to develop talents you didn't even know you had, and frankly, probably didn't have until you were forced to develop them. So it's been an amazing run, and again, I'm not going to name all the names, but I can give you just dozens of names of people who reached out and gave me a hand along the way, gave me an insight into what was going on that I couldn't see for myself. And so mentoring is also important. And so look for people wherever you are who you want to model yourself after.
Speaking of serving and doing your best each day, what role has faith played in your life?
Oh, it was part of the air I breathed growing up. I'm a Catholic and went through Catholic schools, and I hope I've lived by an ethic which says people of all faiths and people of non-faith are all still good people, and we're all going to work together here. So it's not that, you know, that's the only team that I work with. I work with everyone. But in that world, I've got a real strong view that our job is service of others. That's what God is calling us to do, is to take care of our neighbors and take care of others, use our talents as well as we possibly can, and accept the fact that we're not in complete control of things, and that we sometimes, when we're stumbling, sometimes the best point of view is when you're down on your knees. And hopefully you don't have to be down on your knees too often, but don't be afraid to be when you need to be.
As our time winds down together this evening, what advice would you give to our young listeners, Mark?
I think right now there is something that can be done for the good in the circumstances you are in. Do it, and then build off that. It may be that somebody you see is hurting and you need to put your arm around them. It may be that somebody's being particularly rough on somebody, you need to have the courage to step up and try and intervene and help. It may be that there's a volunteer activity. It may be that what's right in front of you right now is a bunch of coursework, and so do it as spectacularly well as you possibly can. But this is all kind of one step at a time, but in each of those steps, it can be a little bit in this direction or a little bit in that direction, and keep pointing it in the direction that you know is the right direction.
Mark Murray, 1978, you get that first job and you say, I want to do my best each day and serve others. And, sir, you've done that for 40 years in a fabulous manner. Please keep it up.
Jack, it's been a privilege to be on with you.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahom.
Believe in yourself.